Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to give the PowerPoint a try. I know it's caused us some headache in the past, so it's a very simple PowerPoint. It's meant to be a help and not a distraction this morning, so if it falls away from us, we're going to be okay. I was handed a book by a physician this week that he had recently finished reading, and he knew that I attend services and keep a Bible in my office and try to take opportunities as I can throughout the day to talk with people at work. And so he brought this book down and he said, "You ought to read this book." So I took a look. Alistair McGrath's Christianity's Dangerous Idea, The Protestant Revolution, A History from the 16th Century to the 21st. I've entitled the lesson this morning, Christianity's Dangerous Idea. And it comes from the title of this book here. Now, I haven't read this book. I thumbed through it quickly. I'm not an avid reader. I do enjoy a little bit of history, but chances are I probably won't read this book, so I'm not even going to recommend it to you, other than the fact that I think that our lesson stemming from this idea is going to be valuable to think about and to consider this morning. In this book, Alistair McGrath argues that the right of everyone to read and interpret the Bible for themselves, he says, that is Christianity's most dangerous idea. And to understand a little bit better, you have to know who Alistair McGrath is. He's a professor of historical theology at Oxford University in England. And so really, what he's speaking about isn't necessarily Christianity's dangerous idea. It is the Protestant Revolution that he was speaking of. And the point that he makes in his book is one that Martin Luther and Calvin and others, that they had unleashed a so-called movement within Protestantism that they themselves had trouble controlling once they had set it free. Interesting concept. The danger that he talks about within Protestantism was the notion that everyone could read and interpret and understand their Bible for themselves, to have and understand God's will in their lives without having the deity lay it upon them. So therefore, how did the people decide who had the right or the wrong interpretation? He cites the fragmentation of Protestantism into the many denominations that we have today as proof of this dangerous idea being let loose. Well, as a historian, Mr. McGrath doesn't offer any solutions to this problem. He simply describes the historical evolution of Luther's break from the Catholic Church to the now thousands of religious groups, each claiming to be Christians, each claiming to have the truth of the Bible on their side. With all due respect to Mr. McGrath, I don't think Christianity's most dangerous idea is that we can read and understand and interpret the Bible for ourselves. I think Christianity's most dangerous idea, if I had a little drum roll here, comes from four words. Jesus Christ is God. Tad gave a lesson similar to this about a month or so ago, and it kind of struck me, and as I was handed this book, made me think about it a little bit more and want to take it from a different approach. But I do think that Christianity's most dangerous idea is Jesus Christ is God. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not just that he is developed into God, or he is like God, or he is godly, or he's a prophet of God, or is one of many gods, or that he personifies God. It's not those. It's that he is God. That Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph and Mary, the Jesus described in the Bible, in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that supreme being, the creator of heaven and earth and the only true and one God. I didn't tell or ask Mark to read John chapter 14 this morning, but it fits perfectly. The whole chapter is Jesus talking about, my Father and I are one. If you want to be with me, if you want to know who the Father is, you've got to know me. Because if you know me, you know him. We're one and the same. Paul alludes to this idea as well in the book of Colossians. Whenever he says, Christ existed before anything else, And he holds all creation together in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Who but God can hold creation together? This next one is actually, I've got this inaccurate. It should be John chapter 20, verse 28. John 20, 28. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. The disciples are with him, inspecting him, looking at him. And Thomas comes to him and he says, after looking at his hands and his side, what? My Lord and my God, one in the same. Jesus himself made reference to this reality when he said, the Father and I are one, in John chapter 10, verse 30. And in witnessing to the Jews about his true eternal nature, Jesus said, before Abraham was even born, what? I am. Using that special I am term that we find in the Old Testament in John chapter 8, verse 58. So Christianity's most dangerous idea is its most basic idea that Jesus Christ is God. He is the only true God. And that is extremely dangerous idea for several reasons, and I'd like to share four of those reasons with you this morning. First of all, if Jesus is God, then all other religions are mistaken or false. You see the danger here? Why do you think Christians were martyred in the first and second century? Were they martyred because of their good works that they had been doing? Were they martyred because they had good moral lives? Were they martyred because of their style of worship? Oh, here's these people, and they don't use instrumental music. They just sing. Why don't they use the instruments like we use, that the pagan worship uses? Why don't they do things the way... Were they martyred because of those things? They were killed because they refused to worship the gods of their government. They were considered traitors to the empire and the emperor worship that was demanded in that day. They did not bow the knee to Baal in the Old Testament. They did not bow the knee to Caesar in that day. Today, to openly say that Jesus is God is not a crime, is it? We live in a nation where we can say Jesus is God and not be persecuted for that. But it is politically and socially unacceptable. Why? Why is that unacceptable to make such a statement? First of all, those who have no religion, those who have no God, are offended because they feel you are judging them. And you know you have no right to judge them, they say. Second, other religious groups are offended because in saying only Jesus is God, you imply that their gods are not gods at all. And their religions are false. Society in general likes all religions to be equal, on the same plane. Don't you see that? Have you ever wondered why society wants all religions to be the same? It's because it's easier to ignore religions of opposing views when they all have the same value. If both Hinduism and Christianity are of the same worth, then they're of no worth at all. You might as well just cancel them out. If Christianity and the Muslim faith is the same, then they're both of equal value. They cancel each other out. They're not worth anything at all. It's society's existential way of dealing with religion. If it's good for you, then go for it. So long as you don't impose it on me. For, and of course, within the broad spectrum, looking at a bigger picture of those who claim to be Christians, this dangerous idea must not be shouted too loudly because we don't want to upset the status quo. If others knew that we thought this way, we'd be labeled as radicals, as rebels, zealots, and of course that dreaded word, fundamentalists. Another reason why this is a dangerous idea. If Jesus is God, then He will judge me whether I agree with this or not. You see, the thing about God is that He is absolute. There's nothing that He cannot do, and His rules are the only rules that count. And this creates a huge problem aside from other religions. There are millions of people who are writing books, giving seminars, hosting TV shows, with the sole purpose of telling you how to live your life without reference to Christ. That Jesus is God is a dangerous idea to me personally because it makes me accountable to Him first. Yes, I'm responsible for my family. You're responsible for your family, for your job, for your community, and even yourself. You're responsible for those things. But this dangerous idea that Jesus is God changes the order of these things and puts Christ first, even before yourself. If this idea is true, then Jesus is my judge. His teaching and His commands make up the framework of my life and His person, who He is. And that requires my allegiance. The danger for everyone is that we no longer belong to ourselves. We are no longer accountable to ourselves. We no longer live to please and satisfy ourselves. This idea threatens the loss of self. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. We have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. Your body and your spirit are the Lord's. They are Christ's. Not only did Christ create your body, but He also bought it back. He also redeemed it. Can't you see now how you belong to Him? If He creates you and He purchased you, you are His. You are not your own. This is a direct threat to the way of life we have in Western civilization, because we have been conditioned in our minds and in our lives to pursue happiness and freedom, haven't we? We've been told in America we are to pursue happiness and freedom as we see fit, not as God wills. I mean, it's even in our Constitution. It's a right, isn't it? What is it? The pursuit of happiness. And do we ever pursue it? It's a dangerous thing to proclaim that our freedom is really slavery to sin, and our happiness will only come if we surrender to another. Now, there's one word right there that we don't use very often. Surrender. How often do you use the word surrender in your daily vocabulary? Do our sports teams surrender? Does our military surrender? Do we even use that word very often? No. Yet that is what Christianity is all about. Surrender. It's what we do. We surrender to Christ. And that goes against everything our society stands for. We have a song in the Red Songbook, number 98. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I surrender all. And then third, the notion that Jesus is God is dangerous because we cannot control Him. We cannot control Him. Going back to Professor McGrath's book for a moment, he describes how Luther and others tried to stem the growth of the growing number of new groups that were unleashed by the promotion of this idea that each person is responsible for understanding and reading and knowing who the Lord is. You know, that's an easy concept for us to get our mind around now. It's a part of our psyche, but 400 years ago, in the 16th and 17th century, the ordinary person may not have even conceived or thought about this idea of them being responsible for themselves. That God had provided them a revelation through His Word to guide their lives. But once that was out, McGrath said that these individuals and others couldn't take it back. They couldn't control it. People began reading the Word, and it had an effect upon them more powerful than they could have imagined. You see, that's the thing about dangerous ideas in general. They're dangerous because they can overpower and create a new order of things that even the one who introduced it didn't imagine could happen. So if Jesus is God, then He controls the agenda of the world, of the church, of your life. And your recognition of this can have and should have a powerful effect on you. Because if you accept the idea that Jesus is God, then everything He said about the world and its condition and ultimately its end is true. Absolutely true. He said there will always be wars and natural disasters. This is a normal pattern for the world. So we don't need to panic or be in despair because He said that these things would happen. Are you surprised that there's fighting in the Middle East? Really? Should we be surprised about that? If we could get into a time machine and travel 100 years into the future, if the world was still around, the Bible says that the sword would always be among them. What foolishness to think that we can bring about world peace to a place that God said would always be at war. Jesus said that the world would end suddenly when He returns to judge. And there's no need for us to put our hope in earthly things. Better to invest in the spiritual things and be ready for His return. And if Jesus is God, then He is the head of the church. And so the church should be about honoring and serving Him in all that we do. The most powerful thing about this idea is that if you believe Jesus is God, if you believe Jesus is God, then He will reveal Himself to you. And that revealing, while here on earth, may just be in part, but then later, when it's face-to-face, it shall be in full. When He does reveal, all of our opinions and interpretations will finally be integrated and completely brought in to who Christ is and the true reality of Him. I'm looking forward to that day. Paul speaks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 where he says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face-to-face. Face-to-face we shall know just as I am known." As a congregation, we should focus on proclaiming this powerful truth in any way that we possibly can, because it is our basic task. And in so doing, we will turn on a light. It's the only way to turn on a light in a dark world. Ben's been leading our class. He's just finished up in the morning about the Assembly of the Saints. We discuss matters like giving and communion, benevolence, our class structure. Even our class structure now, after setting that, we've made a change and are seeing if this is a better fit. We've talked about things like instrumental music as well. In our studies, for example, it's clear that the Bible shows us that we shouldn't incorporate instrumental music into our public worship. We need to know this. We need to believe it and we need to practice it. But that isn't the light of the world, is it? That's not what gives us hope. That's not the thing that makes people yearn. It's not the thing that makes people want to change their lives. If you want to make an impact on somebody and have them know the Lord like you do and share in those blessings, you need to make sure they know that Jesus Christ is God. That truth makes people want to change their lives. That's the thing that sheds light. Declaring that Jesus is God may produce dangerous consequences for the church. But Jesus Himself said, upon this rock, what rock? That Jesus is God. That nugget, that truth of information. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You know, when we say, let's get back to basics, these are the basics that we're talking about. The church cannot overcome the world without declaring boldly this dangerous idea about Jesus and who He is. And then finally, if Jesus is God, I must change. I must change. Think about this from an outsider's perspective, somebody who doesn't know the Lord. They say, if Jesus isn't God, then I'm God. I will do as I please. I will do as I want. As my heart leads me for good or for evil. I'm no longer the sinner. I'm no longer the one who one decides. I am the sinner of my own life. If Jesus Christ is God, then He is the sinner of your life. and all that we have revolves around Him. Here comes in that word again, surrender. This morning, if you believe the truth about Jesus, that He is God, then here's my question to you. What's holding you back from doing what He's told you to do? Take a quick inventory of your life. 5 seconds. The mind can work that fast. You know the answers. What's holding you back? I don't know all the answers in your life. Ask yourself. Your spouse, your husband, or your wife, they may not know, but you know. If Jesus is God, what is holding you back from doing what He has told you to do? And if He has told you to repent and to continually seek His face and do away with sin in your life, why haven't you done that? If you believe that Jesus is God, what happened to your battle against sin? If Jesus is God, well, shouldn't you be baptized? He only mentions it about 10 times in the book of Acts. Why haven't you been baptized and demonstrated that you believe He is the Son of God? You need to know that He went to the cross for you. Now, of course, if you've been a Christian for a long time, if you're a Christian leader, a believer with many years as being a disciple, then you should be leading the charge in proclaiming Christianity's dangerous idea. We should be looking for opportunities to grow and to mature as a congregation. And nothing will jumpstart that growth more than seeing its leaders on the dangerous edge of proclaiming to the world that only Jesus is God. And if so, if you are one of those experienced Christians this morning, ask yourself the question, when was the last time I took a risk for Christ? I mean, if He's God, it's wrong to be silent. It's a sin to be lazy in the ministry. It's dangerous to avoid being a witness for the Lord. And one last but very important thing before we close this morning. If the Bible is true, if Jesus is God, and our faith is justified, if those things are true, then those in danger will not be us, but it will be those people who do not know the Lord. We're going to close with 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes in that day, to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. If you believe that Jesus is God, then you do not have to be afraid. He is on your side. But if you have not made that confession, you have not washed away your sins, and you do not proclaim Christ and live for Him as though He is God, because He is, then you need to come forward, and you need to let your request be known as we stand and sing a closing song.